Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
Same boat. We can all believe what we believe. Peacefully agree, disagree.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here with Melissa Lucas, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Catch us here every Tuesday at 9 a.m. And do not forget, starting next week with the time change across the nation, we will be airing at 10 a.m. until springtime when the time change is back again. But before we start our show, I want to apologize for appearing to marginalize the validity and importance of a few texts that came in a recent episode. It's really hard sometimes, I got to let you know, to put aside my personal feelings and political beliefs. I am a human being, I make mistakes, and I make comments that maybe are against the show's Common Ground's mission. I will be mindful of that and hope you too, you will too. I can't help it sometimes, I just let it out there. Today we have a great guest and an old friend again that is here for us. It's a departure from our normal established format. He is a Republican conservative. He's a great guy. But in our country today, we're dealing with historic and debilitating government shutdown that shows the political divide and how it affects all Americans. Over the last number of years, it has become harder and harder to get the job of governing done. Political agendas and party affiliations have become more important than the people that got them there. It is time to put aside the differences, to work together to heal the country and build a future that all Americans by finding some common ground. Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our guest today, our staff that makes the show happen, and let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground, featured on KNTR Talk Radio.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, everyone. First, I want to do a quick shout-out to our Common Ground sponsors, Blonzy Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Top Turf AZ, Martin Swanee, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia, and Neat Pool and Supply. If you want to call us in, please do so at 928-854-5687 or give us a text at 928-727-5566. And in-house today, we have Red Bull Ronnie, our co-creator, Marissa June, the producer, and Paul Lavoie, the operation manager, is in the house. And our guest today is Congressman Leo Biasucci. Welcome to the show.
I've been upgraded.
You've been upgraded?
I've been upgraded.
You're not a congressman?
State representative.
State representative.
Which I prefer.
Isn't that mean Congress, though?
No, so I'm at the state level. So I'm actually glad that happened, because I'll tell you how many times people think I actually work in D.C. and I get paid $180,000 a year. And that's far.
How much you pay them? How much you pay them?
How much are you in D.C.?
I mean, I'm probably in D.C. like two or three times a year, but mainly I'm out of the Phoenix. So we're out of the Capitol in Phoenix, downtown Phoenix. That's where the magic's, you know, made, and where we do all our work. So. And I represent District 30, which is obviously Mojave County, La Paz County, a little bit of Wickenburg. So I don't go to D.C. as often, which is a good thing, because that place is
a train
brutal.
It is.
And I actually just came back from there, and it was a love-hate, because the shutdown was happening, so I was able to actually get some things done and not, you know, go through the mess. But, you know, I love going back just to reconnect and get some, you know, ideas on policy and meet with, obviously, you know, congressman and whoever I can meet with, and but yeah, I'm right here in Phoenix, so I'm actually state representative instead of a congressman. So
okay, so I want to talk to you a little bit about HB 2164.
Yeah,
2164. It didn't just pass; it passed with overwhelming support from both sides of the aisle, and Governor Hobbs stamp of approval.
Yeah.
So what were some of the key challenges in building that bipartisan?
Well, what was why don't you read what it was? 8164, what the actual bill was.
Right.
Yeah.
It bans the sale of ultra-processed foods during school hours and in schools participating in federal free or reduced lunch programs starting at next year, I believe.
Yeah, 26.
But the thing is, it does not include private schools. Private schools, they're not taking government funding.
Correct. So the nexus there was if you were taking any government dollars to fund your school food program, whether it's lunch, breakfast, I know a lot of schools do both now, then you cannot sell items with these 11 ingredients that I listed in my bill. And let me give you kind of a quick background. This came up because I was actually in Italy visiting family a couple of summers ago. And I'm sure you guys have been to Europe. Maybe you haven't. I'm not sure. But a lot of people that I talk to, they've gone to Europe and they go there and they're in Italy and they're eating pasta and they're eating pizza and they're eating ice cream and they're drinking wine. And they're doing this every day. Right? This is like the normal
and they're
staple.
Healthy.
Right, and that's my point, right? So you're there, you're having this diet of carbs and wine and ice cream and you feel great. Like you're not gaining weight. Right? You don't feel like if you had that here in the States and you hear that every day, you're 300 pounds and in a month.
Correct.
Right? So the question for me was, now that I have a 2-year-old and I'm there and I'm like, what is happening here? Like, how are we able to do this here? You go back to the States and it's a host of problems. So I started looking at the ingredients. I go to the grocery store and lo and behold, I see this box of Kellogg's Fruit Loops.
Perfect example. No food dyes.
Exactly right. Right? I turn the box over. Now here, this is the part that made me mad. You have a company from the United States, Kellogg's, who makes a product in the United States. In Italy, they're using spirulina, beet juice, chlorella. Like the dyes are from natural forming substances, right? They're from real foods.
Correct.
So then I'm
made
like,
by the same manufacturer.
And that's my point. I said, so here's a company who makes the same product in the U.S. that they do in Europe, but the ingredients are better in Europe than they are in the U.S.
They serve us food
poison.
That is poison.
It's 100% poison.
And chemically oriented.
100%.
And the other people who are smarter than that, other countries, are requiring them to give them products that are safer and healthier.
Correct.
And they're following through with that instead of giving us both the same.
Absolutely. In Europe, Europe does things a little different than we do. If they have any question about a food dye or a chemical in their foods, they ban it immediately.
Right.
And then they do the research, and then they say, look, if you can prove to us that it's safe, then we'll bring it back into our food supply. But until you do, where the United States, U.S. is different, right? You see it with pharmaceuticals, right? How many ads do you see on the TV?
Right.
Like, oh, this
with
is for heart disease.
With a side effect.
Side effects of death, stroke, cancer. It's like, holy. And then what do you see happen in 5 years? You see lawsuits and you see those lawyers. Like, have you
And well, that's
died?
Why they charge so much for the medicine.
Absolutely
to
right.
To cover their cost of advertising and lawsuits.
100%. So when I came back to the States, I said, okay, I'm going to run a bill. And let's start with our schools because these are our children, right? These are the most important part of our population. They're growing. We need to make sure they're not getting, these harsh chemicals. And so I picked 11 ingredients that I knew were – you could not dispute them. Like, the science was clear.
And knowing
ADHD.
You get bipartisan support on that as well.
Titanium dioxide.
Right. So this is the question that you always are faced with as a legislator when you run a bill. Do you want to make a statement, especially when you have a Democrat governor? Or do you want to actually get something done? Because there's two paths, right? You can write a bill. You know she's going to veto. But you want to get...
Put your soapbox.
Right. You want to get the message out. You want to get... you want that veto stamp so you can say, look, here, she vetoed this great bill. So that's path one, which I've done. I'll be honest, you do that. Or do you take the path of you want to actually get it signed?
Well, you want to save lives.
And
save health.
Exactly right. And so this bill... I made sure I had support of the Democrats across the aisle. I made sure that the governor was going to be on board. And you saw it on the vote. It was 59-0 on the House, 28-0 on the Senate, signed by the governor.
Perfect.
So unanimous support. And how do you how do you dispute trying to do what's best for our children? And all these items on that list, like I said, directly, the science is clear. ADHD, cancer, behavioral issues. Like, it's crystal clear. And I want to give you a quick example of the pushback. Really, the only pushback I got was from the chemical agency.
Of course, because you're going to lose
money. Of course.
So they call me.
Well, and what about the people that are making the cereals and stuff? Does it cost them? Is it cheaper for them to put poison in us? Is that why they're doing it?
Yeah, you're correct. So when you have a synthetic version versus the natural occurring version, it's always going to be cheaper to produce that. So when they called me and they said, it was actually kind of interesting. They said, hey, look, we have, there's about five people on this call from the chemical agency. And they said, we're not even going to push back on any of the ingredients except for one. I said, okay, which one is it? They said, titanium dioxide.
Which is insane.
We believe it's safe. And I said, well, Europe banned it. They're like, yeah, well, Europe got it wrong. And they went through, look, and I will give everybody a chance to
study
explain.
Versus study.
Right. And I said, give me some time. let me dig in a little deeper. So this is what I found out. I found out, okay, so titanium dioxide, they're correct. There aren't any long-term studies showing the effects on your body. But the short-term studies show that titanium dioxide goes into your body. You cannot get rid of it, so it lodges into your system.
And it builds up.
And it builds up. But there's no long-term study. What happens when it builds up? Going back to my point before, Europe said, we don't know.
So therefore we ban.
We're out.
Yeah, I
figure it out, and then we'll bring it back. And now, what is titanium dioxide in? Paint.
Oh,
plastic.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. It's a whitening agent. So I get back to the chemical agency, and I said, when I had the follow-up meeting, I said, look, here's the deal. I've done my research. I still don't like it. I still don't want it in there. I will change my mind right now. Give me the nutritional benefit of titanium dioxide.
And they could find nothing.
They said, well, there's no... Why is it there? Well, it's a bleaching agent.
No.
So it makes the food look whiter. That's the only purpose of titanium dioxide in food.
So,
yikes.
I think we have a
you
text.
Do have a text here.
Yeah.
It says, not just petroleum-based dye, but if you also read labels in grocery stores, we're getting bioengineered food products.
You're absolutely correct.
Which is bioengineered. Well, like, what exactly does that mean, first of all? And that's
I actually have an answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I used to work in the grocery industry. So bioengineered, a lot of it applies to meats and products coming out of the meat department in general. They are enhanced. Let's just go with this. There are steroids that are in the foods to help grow bigger chickens, bigger cows, more meat production, more mm-hmm. volume of product coming out of the facilities that are producing them. So genetic engineering, it's mostly the foods that they're eating and consuming are making them grow bigger because of the chemicals that are in the
and that's legal
that
for the chicken farmers to do and legal to inject the chicken breasts with solutions to make them weigh more, so when we go to the grocery store,
correct,
paying by the pound.
And so we've tried to the legislature a couple times. We've tried to say if it's fake meat, because now they're producing fake meat, right? And the bill didn't go anywhere, unfortunately. But we're saying at the very least, label it.
Right.
Let the consumer know.
We do have a call.
Hello?
Welcome to Common Ground. You're on the air.
Thank you. I may be wrong. I think I read about this quite some time ago, but aren't certain types of insects used for dyes in food, or is that clothing or cloth or something like that? If you can explain or kind of open my eyes to that, I'd appreciate it. I just thought that was an interesting fact, if it is true. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thank you. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong in the aspect of, so if you... The chemical agencies and the food companies, they've gotten smart, right? What they'll do, and you'll look at the behind of these labels, you'll see natural flavors.
Yes.
Right, you'll see, very vague.
Squashed beetle.
Right, but you don't know where it's coming from. And you are right. Like, sometimes you get dyes from, they can come from insects, come from certain chemicals.
The unintended introduction of insects to foods.
Right, which, look, and this is the part that's funny, right? Like, if you really went to, like, a winery and you saw like, how they make wine. Like, I mean,
it's disgusting.
Right, you don't think there's bugs in the grapes, and you don't think there's like unintentional when you're crushing the grape. I mean, it's going to happen. You can't
escape
it.
You remember back in the day when hot dogs had a certain percentage of rat components, rat feces in them. That was an acceptable amount because they were just present.
Right.
But we're gonna, it is disgusting.
Sorry, you guys eating breakfast out there.
But, you know, we've been spending a good amount of time to talk about this, but I'd like to bring up something that relates to everybody here locally that you were a champion of.
Sure.
And that would be the funding for $35.5 million for our second bridge.
Yeah.
And that was a keystone.
Oh man. I'd love to share a story. I think we're going to
break. So I think we're going to break right now.
I
do hear music. But we'll talk about that when we get back from break on 100%. Common Ground, 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
See you in a minute.
Like I did that day. Take me to the place I love. Take me. Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Hey, Marissa, you got some sponsor reads for us?
Yes, I do. So we're going to give a quick shout-out to some of our sponsors, starting with Blonzy Steakhouse. Mouth-watering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Second, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They are a small-town store with the biggest hardware and auto selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in-store today, just off Bowie Road in Golden Valley. And last one for this section, Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose.
All right, thank you, Marissa. All right, back to the show.
So the bridge.
The bridge, Leo.
So most people are aware that it's going to be happening.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know generally what the purpose or the reason for the second bridge. I mean, for safety concerns, because if there's a single major wreck on the bridge, people are stranded on the island.
And it's happened before.
And it has happened before. So why don't you explain to our listeners a little bit about the bridge project, why you and Sonny were so big on getting it through, and how it's going to benefit our city, and what's the process, and how long do you think it will take?
Yeah, so the second bridge was kind of a baby project of mine, where, you know, from when I first ran, when people said, you know, what are you going to do for your district? What are you going to if you get elected? And Highway 95 was number one on my list. That hadn't been repaved in 30 years. And this is what happens at the legislature, right? You have the great state of Maricopa, we say, you know, Phoenix, Tucson. They always get everything. They get all the roads. They get all the money. Because the legislators, there's more of them than there are of us in rural. So I knew when I got down there I had a fight. And I had some great partners in Senator Borelli, Representative Cobb, and then now Senator Angus, Representative Gillette. And so my objective when I got in, I said, I want 95. I'm going to fight for that, and I'm going to fight for the second bridge. Those were the two. And I was going to fight for the sheriff stations, which we ended up getting as well. But the second bridge, what really made me mad is somebody said to me, oh, it'll never happen.
And you just lost your mind
over
that.
Okay. So it was good. Like I love that.
Fire.
I live 100%, right? Because for me, I was born and raised here. I've seen Havasu go from zero stoplights to now what we are. Some people don't like that, right? A lot of people that are from here, not a lot, but some people that are from here, like, they don't like the growth. They don't like, and I get it, right? I love the hometown feel. When I'm in Phoenix 6 months out of the year for work, I love coming home to no traffic and coming home to no crime, right? I mean, it's a different ball game than the big city. But I also know that the London Bridge is old. I mean, we all know that. It's obviously from London, brick by brick. I mean, I think there's a report once that I think one of the columns was taken in water. And like you said, going back to if there's an accident on there, like, what do? Like, you shut it all down.
And the growth of housing on the island has created a situation that it would be a major disaster if the bridge is closed for any
reason. Right. And I think, and I want to say this real quickly, I think, like, Havasu City has a duty, and I think the council has a duty to make sure that we still, like, keep Havasu small, right? You have to make sure the island doesn't just become some overgrown, you know, developed everything. Every piece of it is developed. They need to make sure that they're protecting the shoreline and they're protecting certain things. But the reality is, like, we are growing, and the island is growing. You have another housing development going up. You had the 80 some acres at Nautical that was auctioned off. So those things are moving forward. And so in my mind, I thought to myself, if I can get the money now, right? Because this bridge has been talked about for how long? 30 years?
30 or more.
Right. They've tried to raise money for it. Didn't happen. I don't know what happened in that situation.
Well, they
the
raised
money
and it disappeared.
Yeah. Well,
that's another story,
will
right?
Will traffic be diverted to sort of preserve the London Bridge? And are you guys going to push, like, everybody to go to the new bridge?
I mean, that's going to be on the council. I mean, for my job was to get the money. So for me, my point was, if I can get the money to, like, house you, it wouldn't cost them a penny.
Does the council then also decide if we can have events like we used to have, like specifically Camaros on the bridge?
That's all council.
Will we be able to have that again
if we have two? And that's the part I love, right? I think if this happens, I mean, it's going to happen, right? So we're now in design phase. The money's there. Like, we're able to secure the money, me, myself, Sonny, and John, and we got the $35.5 million. The city has it. So the money is there to do it. And then when they did the projections, it's all under budget. When they did the design, they did the, you know, they got the quotes.
So the question I have for you specifically in reference to the bridge, for our listeners, what is the actual
reasoning and methodology and purpose for the bridge? What is it going to do for the community? And how is it going to impact us?
Yeah, so two things, right? I think the growth is happening on the island. So we need something. We need a bridge access off if anything were to happen, right? Anything were to happen.
Okay.
You have very old pipes under the London Bridge. So that's number one, right? Growth is happening. It's happening on the island. That's number one. Number two, traffic. You want to alleviate the traffic jams.
Yeah, like during the holidays,
any
it's
holiday,
impossible.
Anybody that's here, you go down there. I mean, the traffic is backed up. Every boat is trying to go across. Riviera has helped that a little bit, but you still have it. So you have alleviating traffic jams. You have the growth of the island happening. At some point, you're going to need a second bridge, whether it's now or 100 years from now, right?
So,
we've been talking about it.
So
if I could get the money.
Which you did.
To do it now, because it only goes up in cost, right? The later.
Right.
I mean, 10 years, 20 years is going to be 50, 50, 60, 70. So why wouldn't I get those tax dollars that usually go to Phoenix or to Tucson? If I could fight for our city to get the money, and that's what we were able to do. We got the $35.5 million. We got it to the city. It's now in their hands. Why wouldn't we do that?
Well, as anyone knows in Havasu, we have construction issues that
right.
plague our city on a regular
right.
basis.
Right.
So even though I 100% agree with the bridge, I'm looking at the construction time, the downtime, and what areas are going to be affected during
sure.
that long-term construction. What is the estimated time of from start to finish of a bridge like that?
I think the last time I heard from city council and from the city manager was 2027 would be completion.
When would be the starting
of it?
They
would start next year.
Okay, so over a year, theoretically.
Correct.
So during that time, have they done a impact study? Of course, they have to.
Yeah.
On how that's going to affect the city as far as traffic and inconvenience is concerned.
Yeah.
And what did they come up with?
So here's there's a good news part of it. So before we got the money for the bridge, I actually got money for a study. So I got the city $200,000 secured from the state budget to pay for a study. So they did that. And there's a couple of reasons why. So the Laughlin Bridge, everybody knows that they built a second bridge. That was just opened, I think, last year. That's on the south side, like going towards Bullhead. It's way south. That thing, I want to say, I could be wrong, but it was like $50 million-ish. But they had to go into the river, like a moving river. If you've been upriver, I mean, that river is moving.
It's like 10 knots.
Yeah.
It's moving.
Like, you do not want to get stuck in there. But the good news here is, with the Havasu Bridge, you don't have to go into the water. You're able to just go on the land on each side because the area is very small. It's very narrow.
Right.
So as your point of, like, is there going to be, you know, obviously disruptions? I'm sure there will be. But thankfully, where it's at, there's no road there now. Right? They'll
right.
have to build that out. So for the first bridge part, there's not going to be much disruption at all.
That's wonderful.
They're just going to be doing it.
How many lanes are on the new bridge?
I think it's two and two is what I was on the design. So two one way, two the other. Then you have the middle lane, safety lane, that hopefully they don't put a median in.
So it's going to be a very wide bridge.
That's a funny.
Right,
little tick.
Too soon.
So on that note, now that we're moving across from the bridge.
Oh, let me say something real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
I love the city is doing about the second bridge, too. At once this is all done, it'll actually connect from Rotary to Windsor.
Wow.
So there will actually be a walkway, a bike path, so you can literally walk from Rotary Park to Windsor Beach on that whole stretch.
How
that's
long
gonna
is
be
that?
Incredible.
Like a couple miles?
Yeah, it's got to be. But how great is that going to be?
Well, I'll give you a good example. They can now have regular 5K runs.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah.
They can have
yeah.
events there. I mean,
yeah.
that's a really good deal. I wasn't aware of that.
It's amazing. So, and there's a lot of moving parts, right? You have BLM, you have Coast Guard, you have state parks, you have so many pieces. That's why it's taking a little longer than normal, because you have a lot of state entities, federal agencies that are involved in this. But once it's done, I think, and I was, you know, I talked to the mayor about it, I talked to, you know, city manager, I'm like, I wanted to make sure, whatever design it was, I didn't want it to take away from the London Bridge. And so if you look at the design concepts, they're very simple, but yet they look great.
It's not going to be where everyone's sparkly looking at the new bridge as much as the
right,
London Bridge.
Right.
The
right.
tourists are going to come here for the London Bridge.
100%.
So
100%.
On that note, I'm going to depart from most of my Republican friends and conservative friends. Some of the development that's currently going on in the city is
sure.
is abhorrent to me. Six and a half plus years ago, they came up with a great idea, Arizona Parks and Trails, to build a beautiful state park and marina for the city of Lake Havasu.
Right.
And it turned into 575 or more multi-million-dollar homes and a getaway spot. And yes, there's a marina there, a pseudo-state park.
Right.
But it got mutated into something I don't think it was originally designed for.
Sure.
And as a pro-growth person, I don't agree with this type of growth and this subterfuge that went on and misdirection.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on that?
So for me, it's a matter of so I don't know if a lot of people know this. The Riviera, and I got to credit Senator Borelli. He made the moving parts. He was a big part of making sure that Riviera even happened because it was landlocked. Like you couldn't get to the land that they owned because you had state park nexus, state land nexus. You had a lot of issues.
They couldn't just put an easement in?
No. Like so the it was funny. Like the land is all here, but you have Highway 95. The land to get there was all either state land or state parks.
So they needed to secure that from Arizona Parks.
Are you not allowed to do an easement through state land?
Not without permission. I mean, you could, but you have to get permission. So the state land is very interesting. And,
yeah.
And if you saw it on the island, right, any time you want state land leased or sold, has to go to auction. Like, you have to, there's no way
and
around
it. And it's supposed to benefit the schools. Like, Karen Taylor Robeson was saying that's
right.
We set up it as a trust for the schools.
Correct. And look, but here's the predicament, right? Here's your fight between two sides of the aisle, not political at all, is state lands, their job is to sell as much land as possible. Or lease as much land as possible.
To generate as much funds as possible.
To generate as much revenue as possible, right? So this is what you're seeing on the island. Like, they sold that land, and they keep – you're seeing it all the time. But then that's – you're talking about freeing up land that has been vacant and sitting there.
It created a positive cash flow and generating fun and real money.
Correct. But what it's also doing is you're building out a city, and some people don't want the city to be built out. And so this is a real dilemma, right? And so when you talk about the Riviera is a great example. There was no way that land could ever be accessed unless you got rid of that other – you got rid of that. So the Riviera is actually – so you're talking about the marina now. Let's go to your question.
We're going to hold off on that because we do have a break coming up here, and we're going to address more of that issue and see if we can get to any more stuff here on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3 Common Ground.
Voice of the Free.
Voice of the Free. Catch us here shortly.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on KNTR 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Marissa, we got a couple more sponsor reads there.
Yes, we do. We're going to give a shout-out to our last three sponsors here on Common Ground that make this show possible. Starting with Top Turf AZ, the largest showroom in Havasu with unbeatable wholesale pricing and premium turf backed by warranty. Top Turf is your turf headquarters, where they will match or beat any local competitor's price guaranteed. Located at 92 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Celebrating 40 years of doing it right, folks one happy doing it right by folks one happy driver at a time. Just off East Andy Devine and Kingman. Sorry, guys. And Neat Pool and Supply. Serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins. Located at 52 Scott Drive.
Thank you, Marissa. You guys, call us in at 928-854-KNTR or text in 928-727-5566. Let us know what your thoughts are about this second bridge, because I know I've seen a lot of stuff online. And then the Riviera, we just were talking about that. I thought the Riviera was a casino until I was having a car show, and there was a guy that was doing a car show on the same day as me, and he said, he asked me if I would cancel my show, then he would bring garage tours to the restaurant. So I canceled my show and garage tours came, which was awesome.
I mean, I think those homes about equal trying to build a casino.
Yes.
I mean, those things are like 5-6.
So speaking of the Riviera, we do have a text about that.
Sure.
So why was the Riviera project allowed to be gated by doing that? You've locked up thousands of acres of hiking and biking trails that the public cannot access. Sorry, I'm just reading this as it is. It's a text. Sometimes they get jumbled there. You have created a giant private Oh, a giant private park for millionaires. The same goes for Foothills. Thank you so much.
Sure. So I had nothing to do with it. So I'm not sure why they're saying why I did that, but I will say this: the Riviera is privately owned land.
So it's allowed to be gated because of that reason.
Right.
And it's so a private housing
you can
community.
Do what you can
right.
put
I mean,
a gate up.
You have private property rights, and so it wasn't like it was state land that was then. You converted to, you know, or state parks has converted to this.
It was sold.
Sold for the schools and then developed.
Right, well, the I think it was a Comex. I can't remember right. But whoever owned that land had owned it for a while. It's kind of like the same
it was
with
Comex.
Yeah. So same with the Foothills. Foothills is land that was state land. Somebody put a application to buy it. They went to the state. It went for auction. They bought it. And so that's private land. Like there's no way you can stop that, right?
Well, I get that. And here's the whole point. We'll close out because I want to move on to some of the conflicts that you have getting things passed
sure.
in the legislature. Yeah. The reality is this. The reality is simple. You have private land that is high dollar for people who are more affluent people. And I think
sure.
there's a lot of resentment in the community over them having these beautiful access to the beach, the
sure.
gated communities, the,
sure.
the marina and all that. I think there's a lot of jealousy. I think there's a lot of angst about that. But, you know, on a closing note on that, it's a free world and a free market.
And that's
the bottom line.
And I'll close on that as well. I am a believer in a free market, right? If you have a buyer and a seller. Mind you, you go through the zoning, right? If you need to change zoning, you better get through the city and they better approve it, whatnot. But if you have a product that a buyer wants, I agree. A quarter acre of, not even a quarter acre, 0.14 acre of land for $300,000 is absolutely stupid.
Yeah, there's $9 million homes
right.
being built.
But that's me. If there is somebody who wants that.
If there's a demand, let's
have
run
at
with it.
Good luck. But I will say this really quick. The Riviera itself, the marina, owned by BLM, they lease it to state parks, who then allows a private entity to run it.
Correct.
Right?
Is it still public access?
Yes. Now, that could change because this is a reason why I went to D.C. I personally want that in the hands of the state and not the federal government.
Okay. I think we have another time.
Yeah.
We have
real
a few of them.
Yeah.
The homes that are being built are on fee simple land, nothing to do with 17.5 acres of leased land that the marina is on.
Correct. That's correct. So it's private, right? That the Riviera itself, all those homes, it's private property sold by a developer to owners, whereas the marina is correct. That is leased land that's actually BLM owned, leased to state parks, who then allows a third party to kind of run the show.
Well, we have a text that I'm basically stating I'm not to go too far because these kind of developments are creating jobs, and I agree wholeheartedly that high-paying construction
yeah.
jobs are a real good thing, and I agree with that. What I don't agree with is the way that it was put together over a period of time, it morphed from one thing to another. And if they would have made some affordable homes, some balance in some ways.
And look, and that is my biggest issue right now, right? Highway 95, I'm proud I got that. The bridge, I'm proud I got that. I cannot stand that we do not have homes in the 3 to 350 range in this town at
They're
all.
They're gone.
Right. But you go to Kingman, you can buy them for 250. You go to
yeah.
Bowling, you can buy them for 250.
And so what do we get? We get an apartment complex, which will create jobs that they're going to be developing out by Walmart in between the movie theater and Walmart
right.
that's been proposed. So here's the closing on this. I'm a pro-jobs person, pro-growth person, to a point where there is a diminishment of the equity in our community,
right.
where there becomes a hierarchy
mm-hmm.
of higher-end homes and lower-end homes and no middle road for people to afford. But I want to talk to you about the original premise of our conversation,
sure.
our text that we had about the difficulty of passing bills
yeah.
In the House with the Democratic governor where there's conflicts between parties. Now, last year, we passed some good bills. The processed foods we discussed. I briefly talked to you on before the show about medical assistants performing certain procedures,
mm-hmm.
which passed,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they can get experience. And there was fights between the nurses and the anesthesiologists
right.
and assistants. But interesting, there was this. I find this really interesting. HB 2514 requires written parental consent for schools to share their children's personal information.
Man.
But at the same time, vetoed bills would have required schools to notify parents about vaccine exemptions. I mean, it just seems like they're all over the map.
It's all over the map.
And it's pick and choose your battles, but
right.
even the same battle
right.
gets two different results.
Yeah, it makes zero sense.
It does. And so how do you handle that as a legislator?
I mean, it's tough, right? It's like I said before, right? You can go to the legislature and you kind of have two paths and you have a path to know. You can be an activist and just, you know,
soapbox it.
Yeah. Right, like, and I don't care, you know, if anything passes or I pass anything. Or you can actually try to get down there and govern and get things done. I think the reason I believe I've been so successful is I've been able to figure out that middle. Right, so a great example is you look at the list of, you know, from Turning Point, which a lot of people know as being a conservative Republican group, right? They do a lot of great things for the Republican Party and for our causes. They have a list of the most conservative members down the legislature, and I believe I'm like number 11 or 12, right? Which is
high,
pretty good,
above average,
right? Above average, right? When you have, you know, 60, 90 members, whatever. But I also this last year had my percentage. I was the number one member in the House to get the most bills signed by the governor,
which shows bipartisan efforts.
Correct. So I say that because am I frustrated with Governor Hobbs and her vetoes? 100%. I mean, there's some things that I just, like, there was a bill that said, and I don't know if people know this, once your child hits a certain age, those files are now hidden from the parents. If it involves, like, certain, you know, things, like sexuality or, you know, pregnancies and all these things, that is absolutely insane. You have a minor who's 12.
And your parents can't have...
And your parents can't have access to their medical... Why on earth... But she vetoed that bill. But then she signs another bill that...
Like you said, the conflict.
Right,
makes
correct.
No sense.
So it makes zero sense.
It's flavor of the week.
Right. And I've had my struggles with her. And again, like, she signed my food bill, but she vetoed my SNAP bill, where I said, you know, soda shouldn't be part of...
Speaking of SNAP, isn't that ending, on Saturday?
It is. Yeah, the funding for it will end on Saturday.
So that means that a lot of people are going to
be out of food until something happens.
Do we have a plan for those people?
No. I mean, this is a federal-funded program.
Okay. So we're relying on food banks and churches and...
100%.
I have a prediction. We're running against a couple of hard deadlines. The SNAP program, November... Well, we got a caller. Yeah. Hold on one second. Thank you for calling. You're on the air. How can I help you today?
Hello, Scott and Lizard. And
hi.
Leo, this is Wayne. How you guys doing?
Hey buddy. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I just wanted to say real quick that I moved here in 1980. I love Lake Havasu, and our little town is very fortunate to have somebody like Leo getting good things done the right way. And there's a lot of us here that appreciate you, Leo.
I appreciate it, man.
A lot of people do.
I appreciate that.
Keep it up.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate
really
it.
Thank you.
Stop
Wayne.
By any time, buddy.
We also just got another text that said, we're lucky to have you, Leo. You're a good man, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. So you do have a lot of community support.
Well, he's an activist. He actually acts and gets things done.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's why I thought you were a congressman already.
Yeah.
Getting passing all these bills.
Well, and I think, you know, going back to, you know, the difficulty of getting things passed, I think, you know, like, my core beliefs are going to be my core beliefs. I truly, like, you know, there's things that just will not change that I believe in, right? I believe in free market. I believe in, you know, pro-life, and I believe in the importance of having a family network, and there's so many things that just will not change. But I also know I have to get things done, right? I'm at the Capitol. I was elected to get things done for a district that historically has been ignored, right? I mean, rural Arizona gets the crumbs.
So what are we going to get done for those people that aren't going to get their food benefits? What do you have any suggestions?
I mean, look, there's
food banks. Everybody donate.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things like that, and we'll see if the state comes down. The governor could declare an emergency.
We're going to close out on that after our next segment. I think we're going to go on another break. This is a short session, and we'll get back to you here on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3 Common Ground.
Voice of the free.
Voice of the free.
I love it. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! If there's something weird and I don't know. Welcome back to Common Ground. Who you gonna call? You should call us at 928-854-KNTR or text in at 928-727-5566. We are here with Leo to talk to you guys.
That was a perfect segment.
Well done. Well done.
So we were talking about the government shutdown.
Yeah.
And as I was saying off the air, they're going to have to come to the table this weekend because SNAP benefits are going to be ending shortly, or
right.
Food benefits as a whole on Saturday. And on the 1st, which is right around the corner, extended Obamacare applications on Marketplace are going to be opening.
Right.
And people who opt in now and get locked in on a price for their new insurance policy. It may be up to two or three times higher. And then if the extension of the subsidies are put back in place, the other people who sign up for the same policy may get it for half that. And once you've locked in your plan, you're locked in. So everyone's going to sit on their haunches
right. And
wait for something. So it has to happen. We're on a hard deadline now.
Yeah, and I think the reason why it's kind of been just not a big deal late, like these last few, you know, days, weeks, months, whatever, how long it's been, a month, is because you haven't seen, like, the effect, really, right? Like, people are just like, yeah, everything's normal. Like, you know, you still get in the plane, you're still, you know, there's still people. But now with this deadline, you have a problem. Because now you have literally, like, checks that are stopping, and you have money that's stopping.
You've got air traffic controllers aren't getting paid.
Correct. So now...
You're military.
Right. Now I think you're going to see, like you said, the pressure's going to build up so much that they're going to have to come to the table. It happened at the state level where we had a same situation with access. Like, the money was running out in, I think it was, like, March of last year. And at the same time, our error rate, which means how many people shouldn't be on access, that were on access, was like 19%. Historically, it's at 3. I knew the deadline was coming, and I knew, you know, what was going to hit the fan, because now you're talking about people not getting health care
right.
should begin. And so that is what I used for leverage with the governor. I said, you're about to have a hot mess happen, so you better, you know, I have a bill that's going to bring that error rate from 18, 19 back to 6, so you get the people off that shouldn't be on there, and then people are going to get their money for their health care. And that's how we got it done. We got the deal done
common
right before
sense.
The deadline. Right, right.
Common ground.
100%. We went in there. I said, this is the situation. This is how we fix it. Let's get people. And it worked. So I think I agree with you. I think it's going to be the same situation here, that now you're going to see people without food.
The pressure is going to be incredible.
It happens every time.
I just got a text. This is from our tax assessor. She texted me on she texted me on my personal phone. It says, maybe if Hobbs hadn't overspent her budget, she would have backup funds for SNAP. Because that's my question. Like, don't we have a plan? We have no plan.
Right.
And so in Salem, I'm going to hopefully make it through if I have a flight back tomorrow. And I'm planning on being there on Saturday when this hits the fan. Grocery stores are being warned there. Did you know that? To be prepared for rioting. And
wow.
When
they
put
their SNAP card through,
Portland's right there. I know. And so there's fear among the shop owners.
Yeah, you think about this for a moment. How many people are actually media savvy that are knowing what's coming this Saturday, so they go Sunday to go shopping with their SNAP benefits, and the card is declined?
If there's a whole bunch of them rioting, that's how they go in and get. This is Portland's. I mean, you're in Havadome, right? So you're protected.
Right.
But I'm going to be there in the middle of it this weekend. I'm a little bit nervous about it.
And I think people, when we talked about it off air, people need to understand also the dynamic, right? A lot of people you see on media, like, oh, the House and the Senate, the President, they're all Republican. This is on the Republicans. That's incorrect. To pass a simple CR, a concurrent resolution, in the Senate you need 60.
That's correct.
We do not have 60 Republicans. You have about 53, 52. So you need 6 or 7 Democrats to come on board. And this is just talking, when people say CR, concurrent resolution, you're just talking to keep the lights on.
Right.
Just to fund the basics.
We never pass budgets anymore.
No, it's like, correct. And so the fact that they're not voting just to keep the lights on, that's what's making me mad. Because now I'm like, look, you can have that fight all day long. You want to fight on Obamacare, and you want to fight on this program, whatever. But don't shut the lights off, and don't cut the food off to people that need it.
I agree. Now, I want to talk on behalf of my Democrat friends and my Democrat listeners. This is not a issue, this particular topic, that has any political affiliation. This particular thing affects all of America.
Yeah.
And my liberal brothers and sisters say that, in some cases, say that it's the Republicans holding fast, and some people on the Republican side are claiming that it's a Schumer shutdown or a Johnson or a Trump shutdown. It's an us shutdown. It's
correct.
The whole government that's shut
correct.
Down. So let's get together, folks. Let's find common ground together.
Agreed.
And we have another text.
Yes, we do. We have a few more. This one says, please ask Leo, is there a few items you would like to find common at the state capitol?
Everything. Yeah, I mean, like, look, here's the situation. Nothing gets signed into law unless a Democrat governor signs my bill. Right? That's the reality. Like, I have to have common ground.
To get anything done.
To get anything done. Right? And I think it's really important for me. So there are tons of topics that we're going to work together. Like I said, even with the food bill for the school lunches, that was common ground.
Are there any issues that either you or the Republicans in Phoenix have any common ground on with the governor?
Yeah, plenty. I mean, look,
what are they?
Well, I mean,
the food diet.
Right. I mean, the food is a perfect example. You have a bunch of stuff. I mean, like you, she did sign a lot of bills. She signed the budget, which means she agreed with, you know, funding for this or funding for that. So,
but there's nowhere in the budget for the people that aren't going to get food stamps on Saturday.
Today.
No, because we're out of session. So there's literally nothing
you can do.
The governor can. So the governor can declare an emergency, and we always have funds.
And allocate the funds.
So it happened with the Cibola Bridge. It's a great example. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but there's a bridge in Cibola, which is in our district, my district, that burned down. It was a wooden bridge that connected California to Arizona.
Oh, no.
Burned down.
They built it in 90 days?
Yeah, so, right. And so now what happened is we're not in session, so I had to call Supervisor Irwin, we called the governor, we got emergency funding, we had everybody involved, and now they went in, they cleaned it up. So that is how, this is going to be the same situation. Like if this just happened, everything gets shut down, declares an emergency, it opens up dollars to try to figure out the food situation.
All right, we've got 1 minute left. I want to say something that's really important. I think Leo and my co-host here, Melissa, will agree with. We're all Americans. We all want everybody to prosper and to do well. We don't want people to be alienated. We don't want people to be deprived of simple things that make their lives manageable. We're in a situation right now where this show and other shows like this are trying to find ways to come together. And if Washington can't come together and the state can't come together on simple issues like feeding people,
right,
like housing people,
right,
if we can't find that together and common ground together, we're doomed.
And I know we're wrapping up. I think the Charlie Kirk situation really opened up a lot of eyes in that aspect, right? I think when that happened, you showed the ugliness of the world that exists.
And we're just going to fix that if we can.
Right. I think what you saw happen was you even had decent Democrats. There are decent people on both sides.
Absolutely.
Right? And you saw people like Bill Maher.
We got to wind it up. Going back to church.
Right. And Bill Maher, I do not agree with him on 90% of the stuff. But for him to come out and say, if you are celebrating the death of that man, you're done. I love that we're done now coming together.
We'd love to have you back again, Leo. We're done here on our last session today of Common Ground. And we'll be back again next week. Remember, 10 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock, the time change.
Ooh. No more sleeping in.
Yeah, no more.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.